like Department of Communication, DOC, and state-owned companies' contribution to government priorities is one document I have. The other one is the status of international MOUs. Those are the two presentations. The others are supporting documents, responses to unanswered questions, department's contribution to the five priorities of government. I think it's linked to their presentation. Responses to unanswered questions from the PCC 9 October. That's got the presentation. And then we've got the bilateral agreement signed by South Africa around DOC. Then you've got the integrated plan and progress report for 2011, 2012, and 2013 finding by the Auditor General. Those are the documents I'm having. Which one is up? Where is that one? We don't have the one which reads as the one currently put there. In this document we have. DDG?
Good morning to you, Honorable Chairperson, and to the Honorable Members. We want to apologize, Chairperson, when we audited the documents which you are supposed to have, we found that this particular presentation has not been printed, so they are busy printing it. But it does speak to the table on the report which you already have. But it will be easy for you to follow the presentation. Thank you, Chair. Yes, the action plan. It's not quite the same, Chairperson, but the issues arises. In fact, that is the detailed plan on the issues, but we have highlighted the main issues for the purposes of the presentation. And we have also, in this part of the presentation, added other issues outside of that action plan as well. We do hope, Chairperson, that when the copies are here, members may follow.
Chairperson, if that's the case, thank you, firstly, Honourable Chair. If that's the case in terms of time, I know other honourable members would love to be excused around about 12 issues or so. We may proceed only if then Mr. Piri will be in a position also to cross-reference what we have. It would be much appreciated to work in the document. Thank you so much, Chair. Then I didn't say anything. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, these people like typing things. I don't know why they keep typing these computers, but it's the same. It's the same content. Yes, this. Yeah.
You can start the next day.
Honourable Chairperson, cutting place is a very dangerous thing. No, Chair, we want to thank you, Chairperson, for giving us...
Only dangerous if it's detected.
Yes, and Chairperson, we thank you for accepting us here in the absence of our Director General. I am accompanied, of course, both myself and DDG Vilakazi by a team of officials whom I've asked to introduce themselves. I am Themba Phiri, DDG for ICT Policy.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Themba Phiri, DDG Administration.
Morning, Chair, and Honourable Members. My name is Robolan Soldar. I'm from DOC Finance.
Morning, Honourable Members. And Chair, my name is Nimungala, Director of Management.
morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. It's Farhad Osman from Strategic Planning Monitoring at DOC.
And Chairperson, we have our parliamentary liaison zone. Otherwise, we become a voice club, which is undesirable and uncomfortable.
It's only Debo that's playing the five, but yeah.
Yes. Chairperson, I would allow Deputy Lagazi to answer the presentation, and we will invite your guidance because we have several documents that we have prepared here, and with that we will record for you in this meeting that we have already looked at some of the issues, the unanswered questions, the report on the five priorities of government, and the detailed action plan on the AG. So we may be guided by you, Chairperson, what it is that you want to only handle today. But all of these documents, Chairperson, are ready for the attention of your committee. Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Not sure I was going to say when the presenters come with many papers and we can understand that their work involves so many aspects and to document that it takes a lot of documentation. So that's to the kind of presentation that is comprehensive, in other words inclusive, but also in a very precise and summarized way. Because if you're going to give us a lot of documents, again, I know this very much, you lose them. I will look at you and there are no maps of you because you've just given them too much. So what I advise is do something short in terms of 30 minutes at the most 45 minutes, but let it include everything so that at the end they can say yes. We have a general understanding of what is happening. At times you get so much congested information that at the end you still feel I'm still empty with risk, in spite of all the information. So do it such that we can absorb it, you don't lose us, but at the end we know whether there's positivity, whether there's negativity, and how we can help. So don't just like fill us up with information. Do it such that we can absorb and understand and help you, support you. My own way is 30 minutes is usually enough full concentration. Otherwise, they look bright at you, but they don't hear a thing. With all the glittering eyes, including the chairman himself.
Honorable Denis? Are you done, Honorable Denis Kekan?
Yes, yes. Are you chairing, Susan? I wasn't aware that you could detain South Africa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kekana. Honorable Mayana, your hands is up. I don't know what are we discussing, really.
No, we're not discussing, Chair. But probably to say it in a more logical way, what Honorable Kekana is saying, because I can see here that the page is Honorable Chair. In terms of your slide number, it skips probably when it takes us in details, as Honorable Kekana suggested, we'll cover that so that we don't raise our hands that your slide numbers are inconsistent. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think you have noted all the issues as raised by other members. You must not skip anything but try to summarize, because skip is a dangerous thing to do. You might skip and you'll ask you questions, all the things that you have skipped. Just try to put everything back, just summarize. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We are going to take the members through the action plans that have been developed by the department to address the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. But before we go into the actions that are also accompanied by timelines and responsibilities, we thought it would be appropriate to sort of give the House a fair sense of the state of affairs during the year under review, so that the honorable members could have some sort of an appreciation of some of the issues that we have had to deal with. That obviously had an impact on the ability of the department to achieve some of its commitments. It is also important to highlight, even though it is already known to the members, that the department achieved only 54% of its targets, as reported by the Auditor General. And there were factors that contributed to that performance. One being the issue of human resources capacity in key areas. And I think of importance also is to mention that the ability to attract skills in critical areas such as DTT, broadband, spectrum policy, and SOC oversight. I think the honorable members would note that one of the challenges that we are sitting with as government is that trying to secure experts in these areas becomes difficult because half the time you have to look to private sector. And in terms of the remuneration that is offered by the state, it becomes a little bit difficult to attract the skills. An example is when we ran interviews for senior managers this year, chief directors and directors. We just couldn't secure the right set of skills, either because mainly because of the issues around remuneration, but also broadly because the skills are scarce, and therefore it's very difficult to secure candidates for these vacancies. Honourable members will also notice that in the year under review, there was a leadership challenge in the department due to the absence of the Director General. Whilst this can be used as an excuse for non-performance, but a situation of this sort had a tendency to create instability and uncertainty, which of course then has a negative impact on the performance of the department as a whole, because then there's a culture of the instability, there's uncertainty, staff, they don't know what's going on and things like this. It's also very important to mention that during the year under review, our internal audit was non-functional. In a normal environment, when you have an internal audit which is working, it's able to detect issues and be able to advise management so that corrective steps can be taken. And this is an issue that was debated at length in one of the meetings where the Auditor General was briefing the committee to indicate why the AG was spending more time at the department. So this was one of the challenges that we have had to deal with, and obviously some corrective measures have been taken to try and rectify the situation in internal audit, and I will report shortly on the measures that have been taken in that regard. There was a challenge also around the finalization of the migration process, in other words, movement of staff from the old structure of the department to the new structure, mainly due to the leadership challenges that were experienced. The other challenges were in relation to key projects in the department, one being the key being the policy review, which was also delayed to ensure that there was an alignment with the international best practices. The legislative program that the honorable members are aware of also had experienced delays due to consultation processes. Lastly, the other delays were experienced in a critical project, one critical project that is BDM, due to the issues that were unfolding in the court. Honourable members, the following corrective measures have been put in place to improve the performance of the department.
Honourable President.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have several documents, but somehow I do not have a copy of this document, and it's very difficult to follow it. I tried to attract the attention of the Secretariat, but I don't get it. Thank you.
can we have one copy of the document? I guess you know the document yourself. Just give us one copy.
That's the one she just printed, the one I was with her.
You can copy.
Apologies, honorable members. The following measures have been put in place to improve the performance of the department, starting with the project. We have had to do an audit of really where the challenges are, why is it that some of the projects are not executed the way they should be. And one of the measures that we have put in place is that all key and critical projects have been projectized and are monitored on a monthly basis by various governance structures in the department. And those structures would include EXCO, would include EXCO essentially being the structure that is led by the minister. The agenda of the structure is dominated mainly by progress on projects where managers have to come in account for progress and lack of. There is also a structure that is made up by DDGs, led by the DG, which also primarily deals with projects. Then you have top management, which includes all the senior managers in the department, where they sit and deliberate on progress on projects, and obviously indicate the reasons for non-achievement. The structures, they sit in various, some of them they sit like weekly, some would sit bi-weekly and monthly and so on. We have also, through strategic planning and monitoring, moved towards an approach which advocates evidence-based reporting. In other words, when managers indicate that they've achieved something, there must be evidence that accompanies that, and that evidence must be verifiable, and that is the evidence that will also be checked and verified by internal audit. One of the issues that was raised in the past by the Auditor General was the lack of alignment of projects to budgets. We have corrected that situation. All the projects have been allocated budgets. On a monthly basis, we track progress on projects in line with the budget, so that we are able to ensure that expenditure does not happen whilst there is no performance. The migration of staff to the new structure, as was reported last week, has commenced and will be finalized by the 1st of November 2013. As we speak, there are processes that are currently in place. So essentially, come 1st of November, everyone in the DOC will be sitting in the new structure. 38 critical and funded vacancies have also been identified and will be advertised by 1st November. These are mainly vacancies that have an impact on service delivery. And priority will be given to critical branches such as policy, broadband, and SOE oversight. As we speak, all the profiles for these jobs, adverts have been prepared by 1st of November. They will also be up for adverts. In as far as the issues of complaints are concerned, the department is currently reviewing all its policies to ensure that they are in line with the legislative prescripts, national treasury, as well as public service regulations. We've adopted this approach to make sure that in the course of executing the work of the department, we adhere to policies. And obviously, these policies need to be talking to the reality. They need to be talking to the operational requirements of the department and so on. We have also, on a pilot basis, established a governance and compliance unit to provide sufficient level of assurance on all the processes in the department. Now, if I can just indicate to the honorable members how we arrived at this decision. Ordinarily, the management would be expected to ensure that there is compliance with all laws and regulations. However, there are instances where there could be examples or instances of non-compliance, but not because of negligence, but because of an oversight. Now, the governance and compliance unit verifies all the transactions that are taken and all the processes, because how internal audit works, it works on the basis of a sample, also a similar methodology that is used by the AG. So you may find that some of the processes and some of the transactions may not necessarily form part of the sample.
Now, compliance with the government and compliance, we need to check everything. In other words, if there is an irregular expenditure, if there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, if there's non-compliance on leave, if there's non-compliance on performance agreements, governance and compliance unit brings all these issues to the table and make sure that they are addressed. By the time internal audit comes on board, they draw the samples, do the auditing of all the critical areas, and write reports that are then presented to the audit committee, so that when the AG comes to audit, we do not wait to hear the issues from the AG. We actually inform the AG of the issues and indicate what corrective steps have been taken. So this governance and compliance unit has been put in place in consultation with the audit committee, also with the blessings of the Auditor General. We have also put stringent measures to ensure that there are consequences on all instances of non-compliance. I must indicate to the Honourable Members that we do take this very serious. That's why we have moved to an approach which says if there is fruitless and wasteful expenditure as a result of negligence, then recovery must be effected, and that has been done in most cases. We have further agreed to conduct workshops regularly to raise awareness among staff on the importance of complying with the applicable laws and regulations. These workshops emanate from the commitment that we made in the Minister's speech to show that the department attains clean audit by 2014. The reason for conducting workshops for all the staff, including lower levels, is because we have concluded that compliance is not about managers doing the right thing only. It's about everyone in the organization, from the clean to the minister doing the right thing. And therefore, that's why it's important for everyone to understand that if they do not fill the leave form on time, that is non-compliance. If they commit an irregular expenditure, that is non-compliance, and so on. The department has further engaged the Technical Assistance Unit, National Treasury, to ensure that the targets that we set in our annual performance plan are smart. And this is an issue that was raised by the Auditor General at some point, and I think we are making good progress in this regard. The Department of Public Service and Administration has further designated, at the request of the Minister, an official at the DDG level to assist the department to expedite all outstanding HR issues whilst we finalize the appointment, a permanent appointment of the head of HR, which is one area which is also problematic in the organization. Those areas that we are working with DPSA on include migration of employees, as I've already mentioned, that by 1st November we will have everyone migrated. All the vacancies will be filled.
That's all, Dr. Vilagazi. I just see hands going up. Honorable Stain.
My apologies for the interruption. I kept quiet earlier. The document we've just been given this morning, when we said we didn't have it, stopped at slide 3 and then continued on slide 7. So I kept quiet with the others. I wanted it to proceed, and I followed there. Now, I am making notes on this document. So if I don't have that slide, I better try and capture it in my book here. But now that slide 7 and the slide 7 in this presentation is also not the same. So it's not just that they were missing slides, but this is now totally different to what I've got here. Slide 7 here says anticipated outcome. So besides the fact that we didn't have 4, 5, and 6, the 7 is different. So I anticipate that the presentation going forward is going to be completely different from what we've got. And it does become not only confusing, Chairperson, but it means I've got to capture their information and my question rather than just highlighting the question next to the information. Thank you.
Tsebe, Lisoma, Kilen.
No, sir, when you were coming, I wanted to check if one of us didn't want to say something. I did not. Thank you, Honourable Chair. When Honourable Seba was on the chair, on your behalf, Chairperson, Honourable Kekana raised an issue that a request that when the presenters make their presentation, they could they elaborate so that we may minimize questions. Even the Chairperson did raise that. And also, in addition, I raised the issue in terms of the slides that they were not the same in terms of the numbers also and everything. And the request that we, no one responded was to say when they present that they will cross-reference to the detailed integrated plan that is red and yellow on the front. And they made that promise. Unfortunately, they are not doing that. So Honorable saying what is raised, if it was raised before, it's only that the way it was dealt with, we thought it was going to be covered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Is that document we are handing out now there, right?
No, no, no.
Honorable Killen?
You see, Chairperson, you know, we can have the presentation, we can, you know, they can read from whatever document they have, but what it points to, Chairperson, is actually lack of adequate preparation. And then one needs to ask the question, how serious is this department to report to a parliamentary committee? And how serious are they about their functionality and their accountability to this body? And that is my concern, Chairperson. It's repeat, repeat. I mean, they're just flooding us with documents, and then in the process come and regurgitate the exact same undertakings that they've given to us last year. And I'm sitting with my documents of last year, Chairperson. In fact, we could actually ask them if they have just copied over and just put on a new date for undertakings that they're making to this committee. Are they very serious, or are they actually treating us with contempt?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think now I want to speak. In fact, I wanted to speak when we started the meeting. But I said, let's continue. Maybe things will be okay. Because to me, to start this chair, this kind of a report we need from BOC, the DG and the minister must be here. At least one of them must be here. So that tomorrow we hold them accountable. Among the issues that were raised, well, leadership issues, I don't think the DG can respond to some of the issues that were raised. This is number one. This is what I'm saying. Earlier, I wanted to talk, but I just said that maybe other members are comfortable, but I was not comfortable. To me, I felt like if it was me, for the fact that the minister was not available, if he had informed us in time, we would have been postponed the meeting because we wanted him to be here. Number two, Chair, I agree with Honorable Killian. This is full of cut and paste, really. And the fact that you have so many documents is to cause confusion to me. It's to cause confusion, nothing else. Because we are told that the only thing that will be different in this presentation is will be the heading. Indeed, when you go through, it's not only the heading. Some slides are not even there. So I wonder, how are we going to continue with this? What is the problem for the Honorable DDGs to give us copies of what they are presenting before us? What is the problem with that? Because since morning we started, if we get time, they will have long printed and made copies of the same document that they are presenting, Chair. But these many documents, maybe I really don't understand. Because to me, even the template, Chair, I still remember this is what we wanted. We wanted a template, a simple, you know, sometimes when you make many documents, it's causing confusion. We wanted a very simple template to say, AG said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our response. We wanted a program that says this is how we are going to intervene and it must have time frames. It must have time frames. For example, in one of the slides that was presented by the gentleman, when you talk of the compliance and governance unit that is in place, there are no time frames. There's nothing, it's just a committee there. You know, I mean, really, I don't know. Maybe unless they give us the same copy that they are using, it might be maybe easier for us. And I agree that all these other documents is for reference. Maybe it will be easier for us. Because that is what I got in the beginning, that we'll be comfortable with the presentation. The rest of this main copy is just for our own reference. But really, it's so confusing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, I want to make a suggestion in the interest of us moving forward.
so that we don't have another aborted meeting. There's a document that looks like this that appears to, certainly on the surface of it, comply with some of the suggestions that the Honorable Tebe made, with regard to dates and so on. Could we just perhaps go to this document and go through this and forget about the presentation? The presentation really just says what they intend doing, which should be captured in here. Very specific dates and people responsible for that particular action. Thank you.
Ekana?
Yeah, Chair, in your absence, this is what we suggested right at the beginning when the presenter said he's got too many documents actually, and he doesn't know. You must guide him and tell him how to go forward. I mean, really, I found that to be funny when you're a representative, because when you're a representative, you say, this is the main document I'm going to present on. The rest of documents are supportive documents. And if you come with documents and you don't know which one is which, that is very, very, unprofessional. So maybe like Honorable State has said we should use the one document, but really would want to emphasize that in the future, if they can show more preparation and not what they are doing. Because just to come and throw documents at us as proof of work done, that actually shows work is not done, because it is just throwing things at us. And I would want to emphasize what Zabe said, that indeed the leadership must come up with. This has been a problematic ministry at the department. And right from the onset, we'd like to see the leadership with us so that we can see corrective measures are taken and we on the same wavelength and we work it together. If they are not there really, it is like problems are going to continue.
Lesson machine?
Chair, probably from my side, speaking for myself, as a compromise, I will go along with it, what is suggested by Honorable Stain. But Chair, in future, if there will be any other future, I'll suggest that we don't take any presentation from the DOC if the head of the department is the DG in particular. Because the poor gentleman were actually shooting the messenger. The mere fact that she didn't see it important to come here, she had a confidence in terms of the information and the work that he has given these DDGs, DDGs. And I'm saying, which was going to solve the problem from the outset if we just send them back instead of what we are doing now, because also we are traumatizing ourselves and failing on this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we go to the document that was previously on the screen, which is the one about the that we were going through. If we turn to page 9, that's where it actually starts to go through the annual report and the Auditor General's finding. And there are 9 slides on that. Should we not just actually start with that, because it goes specifically to the AG's report, and then from that we can perhaps go on to the integrated action plan if needed. But I mean, that would be, I presume, a good place to start.
I think, Chair, I don't have any problem with what Honorable Shin is saying. But the question is, that document you have, Honorable Shin, is this the same document that they have? Does the same that you are quoting, are they the same? This is number one. Number two, Chair, I think there was a reason against Chair, but this one, I just want to put it on record. Not that it must change anything. I agree with Honorable Shin. If those slides are the same, let us stop there and proceed with the other slides. But I just want to put this, Chair, on record. You know, sometimes as a portfolio committee, we take decisions. And when it comes from SABC, we implement those decisions. We are still leaning on JOC. This is what they are doing now. We said, for us as this portfolio committee to be able to engage an NCT or JOC, we must receive documents 7 days before. Now we are receiving all these many documents today now. It's confusing. We still have to engage. Chairman, I already have doubts. If what is contained in documents is not cut and paste. Honorable Keenan has also raised the issue that some of the things are from the annual report, the 2010-2011, you know. But if you receive a document, Chair, even if it's not 7 days before, at least, you had an opportunity of doing your own work as an MP, of checking this document. Is it exactly what you wanted? What it was? If you receive this document here, I wonder, how are you going to do that, Chair? But I'm not saying we must not proceed. We must proceed because we are also under pressure because of the fact. I'm saying, future Chair, it must not happen. Even if that 7 days doesn't work, but at least let's receive a document a day before, 2 days before, so that we'll be able to go through the document ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tsebe. What do you want me to do? There are two issues. And that's the programming meeting for this morning. Has changed. When are we going to deliberate on the report? Probably we can do something. But if it stays as it were, that Thursday next week, they might be in the house. The ERRR report, it becomes difficult to maneuver or do anything, given the fact that we have not done it CASA. And it's only on the ATC for today where their reports appear, but not referred. It does appear there in the ATC, which it might be referred probably during the course of the day or tomorrow, which means if that date stays next week, the difficulty is that Tuesday you might have to take ICASA and even deal with the ERRR report or deal with them Wednesday morning or something like that, and then you can be able to present the report on the 24th. Because we are working under that time frame. Probably that's where the leniency comes from, Honorable Tsebe, around this issue and so on. So probably, unless Honorable Schneeman or Honorable Killen, they can be able to give some light in terms of their programming, when this thing is going to be completed, because that can help us in terms of determining how to proceed or move forward and so on. Otherwise, we are working on a very tight time schedule. Honorable Keller.
Chair, I thought there was a solid proposal made by Honorable Stein, supported by me and my Nazet. The pages that are the documents that are starting from page 9 seem to be the one giving an annual report. And that, if you continue, well, some say it differ with pages 9, others is 10. But that we can live with. I thought that was the solid proposal that they continue the presentation on that, because that will give us, irrespective of all other discrepancies that we have with the department. So maybe let's continue that. The rest we have to sort out in the course of events. Otherwise, today we will sort that out.
Thank you, Honorable Kagan.
Jefferson, I must say I would like to align myself to what Honorable Tsebe said, and that is that we are saying we're taking our role as an oversight committee very seriously, and we actually want to study and analyze presentations made, and in this case the DOC was called back to make a specific presentation on how they would address the Auditor General findings, so that we don't have a repeat of this again next year. Now, in other instances, we have been very firm. We have said that we are now in a very difficult situation because we actually find ourselves with our walls against the back, our date. They're creating a crisis so that we must now just flout our own arrangements to accommodate them, which is not acceptable. Now, my proposal is, I have asked the Honorable Schneerman to just determine if all BRRR reports must be in by next Thursday. In some cases, what we've done in the past with budgets, as you know, some of the departments have only a few agencies that account to them, and therefore it is actually quickly to process those reports. Quick, very quick. In our case, we have different entities. We are already now faced with a CASAS problem, which is, by the way, also an oversight of the department. because the department is ultimately responsible to table ICASA's annual report in Parliament. Now, we're already finding ourselves, as you have said, it's only ATC today, so it must not be referred, and we will have to deal with it next Tuesday as a matter of urgency. I'm just asking if we should not, and it seems to me that the pages that Honourable Shin has highlighted will actually take us forward. But can we then not, as soon as we have had feedback from Honourable Schneerman, if we have to comply with the due date, because we will then have to quickly process it cut next week, if we can have a little bit of a relief in terms of a later deadline, then we take both the institutions on Tuesday. We have ICASA, and then we can ask for permission to sit with the DOC in the course of the afternoon if we cannot complete both of them in the morning, so that we then ask permission to go out and to deal with this matter. This is very important. This is the mother body of communication. This is the body that should drive economic development, job creation, and all of that. If this department is dysfunctional, as it has been, clearly, in terms of an analysis of the Auditor General for the past financial year, urgent steps need to be taken. And we can't just deal with this matter in a piecemeal way. Chairperson, if we do that, if we just sit there and say, okay, let's now just agree for the sake of progress, let's allow them to go through this, that, and the following, we will actually not conduct our work in terms of the oath of affirmation that we have signed when we accepted our responsibility as members of Parliament. Can we not just wait for feedback from Honourable Schneerman and then on that, at that moment, just decide how we can process this so that we're all working on the same documents, we can prepare adequately, and we can feel comfortable that we have conducted our work to the best of our ability, which, by the way, the oath that we have signed.
Thank you. Honourable Schneerman.
Chair, look, I indicated you are slipping up because I just wanted to find out what are the implications if the committee is not ready. When I have some news on that, then I'll be able to come back to you.
Okay. It's quite a difficult one. What do we do moving forward? It was going to be to help if we had the information around that. Probably take what Honourable Kekan is saying and the other members have said. Let's for time being probably proceed. If we get news probably which give us some speaking space, and then we can discuss it at that time. Now they are giving you the document they are presenting on, which Honourable Sir was talking about. So you must get the one which they are actually presenting on, not the other one. But Honourable Shin also suggested that we start from 9. I'm not sure that's still going to be the same 9 here. Where he started to talk about the 2012-2013. Is page 9 or like 9? It's page like 9. Slide. Oh, okay. That is start to page 5, slide 9, which is talking to 2012-2013. And also coupled with the document Honourable Stein was talking about, which seems to be having the layout, which helps in terms of actually what needs to be done, when, the date, and the other things. Will that be in order? Can we do that, DDG?
Chairperson, if you would indulge me, just for 1 minute, Chairperson. When we received the notification to come here, Chairperson, we got a little bit confused ourselves in the department as to exactly what it is that we're going to present. at that point, Chairperson, we had began to address all the issues that arose from your meeting of last week. And various units were busy with these documents, Chairperson. So when we look at the invitation, it specifically said the Auditor General's issues. Indeed, Chairperson, we typed slides word for word, myself and Dr. Vilas. So we did not make a copy and paste on this particular issue. The reflections we are making there, in fact, an observation, a late observation that we actually said to the DG, this is what we need to inform the committee in light of all of the issues that have arisen from last week. We sincerely apologize, Chairperson, for the confusion that seemed to be causing this morning. It's when many hands are trying to work on a document and one authority has to approve that we send the document out. So we sincerely apologize for that. Thank you.
Chair and honorable members, we're going to zoom into the issue that was specifically raised by the AG in the audit report. This document or the slides that we're presenting, honorable chair and honorable members, they somehow summarize or they were extracted from the integrated action plan, which dealt with more issues that are not necessarily reflected in the audit report. In other words, what we did, we took the management report issued by the AG, which details all the findings, and we then developed an action plan to address each and every finding. However, the audit report only gives a summary of those issues. I think it's about six issues or so. The first issue that was highlighted in the audit report is the issue of achievement of targets. Now, when we started the presentation, Honorable Chair, we did indicate that the department did not achieve 46% of its targets, and therefore there were discussions to say how to move from 54% to 100%. The action plan that we've developed, it details the action itself, the status of the action, the timelines linked to the action, and the responsibility. Now, starting with the top layer, or the top structure in the department, which is EXCO, I did indicate honorable members earlier on that all projects and targets are monitored to ensure that they are executed as committed in the APP, meaning that when we seek for executive committee meetings, the agenda is dominated by key and critical projects, so that we, all the managers and DDDs, are able to explain why certain things are moving and why certain things are not moving. There is a second layer which is made up by the DDGs, which seeks to review the project implementation progress on a weekly basis to identify the areas of deficiencies in the implementation of projects. This structure is called the Departmental Executive Committee. There are various processes that we have put in place linked to making sure that we do not lack in this area again. One of those processes include the verification of evidence against performance done on a quarterly basis. In other words, as I did mention earlier, honorable members, when a manager says, I have achieved this target in this project, evidence is demanded and is evidence that is submitted for audit purposes, so that we are sure, because it's easy for somebody to say, yes, I have achieved this and that, but only find that there is no evidence that is linked to that particular achievement. And the verification of that particular evidence is an internal audit. I did mention that we have had challenges in the past around projects that were not linked to expenditure. That has been put in place. In other words, we put a project, we put the expenses on a monthly basis, projects are all tracked. Reports are produced, submitted to ESCO, top management. These reports are also presented to the audit committee for verification purposes, so that we are sure that if we have allocated X amount of money for broadband, that money goes to broadband and nothing else. If there's any deviation around that, then obviously there is an engagement. There are other engagement processes that are done with the National Treasury, and we do this on a monthly basis. We do have detailed project plans developed and implemented for all priority projects. And these projects are also tracked, as I did indicate, on a monthly basis so as to detect the early warning systems. The honorable members would notice that in the past we have indicated that we do have quarterly reporting, but what we've done, because 3 months sometimes it can be a bit long before you detect problems, we then do this on a monthly basis so that we are able to see if there is any movement on a project, and if there is no movement, what sort of remedial action can be taken so that you don't have to wait for the quarter and only at the end of the quarter you pick up issues and it's already late. That work is done by strategic planning and monitoring unit, as well as in consultation with the project managers. The DOC management will also be capacitated in terms of the project management skills. There is a process at the moment to make sure that all the project managers do have the requisite skills for project management through the technical advisory unit of the National Treasury, which we have engaged for the purposes of ensuring that we are able to execute effectively our APP. By 30th of November, all the managers will have gone through this process, and it has been facilitated by Strategic Planning and Monitoring Unit. The issue that was also raised in the past by the age, the technical indicator description, will be included in the annual performance plan as required by the National Treasury. This was a finding, and we have since dealt with it and it's completed. Quarterly reports are submitted to the executive authority, being the Minister, the Audit Committee, National Treasury, Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. Just so that we are able to report on the progress made by the department. The second area that was raised by the Audit General was around expenditure management. We have since taken active steps to make sure that all the transactions that are undertaken by the department are recorded in the financial statements accurately so. There was a finding around the recording of transaction. We've looked into that. We corrected that mistake, and that is completed. However, because this is an ongoing kind of work, it's a daily thing. We have quality reviews that are done by internal audit to ensure that the transactions are properly recorded in the financial statements. There was also an issue raised around the payment of suppliers in 30 days. We've made an undertaking that suppliers will be paid within 30 days or payments will be made within 30 days of all valid invoices that satisfy all the requirements. In other words, payments that invoices that have correct banking details that have been signed off by the responsibility managers or project managers confirming that work has been done and correct amounts have been reflected in those invoices will be paid within 30 days. I must indicate to the honorable members that payments that are compliant with this requirement are normally paid even less than 30 days. The problem is when the invoice, for example, is getting the wrong details and you approach a supplier to say, can you please correct the banking details, and they disappear for 2 months. It becomes very difficult because no matter how many calls you're going to make to that supplier, at the end of the day, if they come after 2 months, you would be classified as not having paid within 30 days. The reasons range from incorrect banking details. They range from suppliers not submitting or banking details being rejected by the system and so on. In a normal environment where everything is in order and finance tries level best to make as many calls as possible to track suppliers and make sure that they are able to bring these invoices with the correct details. Moving forward, we are also in the very same or on the very same subject. We are preparing reports on a monthly basis to National Treasury detailing the payments that have not been made within 30 days and the reasons why those payments have not been made. And the reasons, they normally range from the ones that are giving, for example, so some of the suppliers charging VAT, meanwhile they are not VAT registered and so on. These reports are signed off by the accounting officer submitted to National Treasury on a monthly basis. We have put up all the reviews, the policies and processes up for review to ensure effective, efficient and transparent system of financial risk risk management and internal control. These policies are reviewed, are required by law to be reviewed once a year. All the QC policies, as we speak, are up for review to make sure that they are compliant with the legislative prescripts, they are compliant with the regulations, and they also meet the operational requirements of the department. On the HR issues, I did mention earlier on, honorable members, that the migration of staff will be completed by the 1st of November, including the filling in of all funded vacant positions by March 2014. In other words, by the time we hit 31st of March, all the funded and vacant positions must be filled from all non-SMS as well as senior manager positions. We thought that it would be important to highlight to the House that as we speak, there is a process undertaken by the Minister to fill in the 3 DDG positions. Interviews were held from yesterday, and interviews for the CFO are being held next week. These processes that are driven by the executive authority, or as the Minister has authority on SMS appointments, and the DG has authority on lower levels. There were other findings that were raised under HR that verifications were not made. And what we have put in place, before appointments are made, information submitted by applicants is verified to ensure that it is correct, and currently that is being done. And therefore, the timeline that we have attached is that as and when appointments are made, these verifications are done, and we're monitoring that very closely. There was also an issue raised around the overtime. The action that we've put there is that over time we've managed internal processes to ensure that 30% is not exceeded. And where the requests for overtime are put forward, before approval is granted, HR verifies if the request is in excess of the 30%, whether it's in compliance with HR policy, so that we don't find ourselves operating outside of the policy. And in instances where people have exceeded, some measures have been taken around to recover that money. A policy on overtime will also be reviewed and implemented. And as we speak, the policy is being reviewed to integrate the TBSA guideline to ensure that we are compliant on overtime. On the issue of leave management, it was also raised by the Auditor General. Constant monitoring and checks are currently being performed by HR to ensure that all leave taken is properly approved, recorded, and filed. This is currently being done because, as I said to the honorable members earlier on, that the issue of compliance is not only an issue which is confined to managers or senior managers. It's also an issue that affects almost everyone in the organization. That's why we've taken a keen interest to ensure that everyone from lower levels to the top structure, they understand the importance of having to comply. Because if, say, for example, someone goes on leave without filling in a leave form, and then they come back to the office, they sit for 5 days without meeting, it becomes an issue, irrespective of their level in the organization. And these are some of the things that we are trying to address. Furthermore, the accounting officer will oversee management of leave through respective responsibility managers who must account for any inconsistencies or deviations in relevant management meetings. Now, if I could just also indicate to the honorable members that these are some of the administrative issues that compliance and governance unit is assisting with. In other words, what compliance and governance unit would do, they would request all the funds on leave, as an example, and do an audit of leave to say, are all the or the days that have been taken by various managers, have they been properly recorded? Have they been documented properly? Have they been approved accordingly? Have they been filed accordingly? And when there are discrepancies, then various officials are called to account even before the internal audit comes in. By the time internal audit comes in, all these issues have been addressed, so that when AG comes, they don't have to identify issues on our behalf. We need to tell them that these are the issues we have, and this is how we dealt with them. Moving forward, on the issue of IT, which has also been was raised by the AG, it's not necessarily in the audit report, in the annual report, but we felt it's important because it's a very critical area to report on what exactly has been done on IT. There was an issue of an IT audit that was not done, and it has since been incorporated in the 2013-14 audit plan, and it was conducted in the first quarter by internal audit. There was also an issue raised around the security, operating system security. A review was done, and access logs are now being reviewed and reported on a monthly basis to show that there are no security threats to our IT system. On the issue of the disaster recovery that was pointed by the AG, the disaster recovery site has been developed and currently sitting at CETA. The problem has been that our IT infrastructure in the department is not compatible with the disaster recovery site, and therefore we have set aside resources to upgrade the entire DOC IT infrastructure. A service provider is currently being appointed, specs were done and everything else. Once they come on board, by end of the financial year, the IT infrastructure will be up and running. At first March 2014, honorable members. It's quite intensive kind of work. The service provider will need a couple of weeks or so to complete it. Moving to the next slide, there were other issues that were raised in relation to supply chain management. I must indicate that this is one area that as a department we have significantly made inroads in that we didn't really have findings on the FEM apart from the legacy issues that were dealing with the regular expenditure that were not necessarily incurred in the year under review. But there are improvements that are being experienced in supply chain. In other words, the culture of compliance in as far as procurement of goods and services is beginning to emerge in the organization. There were issues raised around the code of conduct for bid evaluation and bid specification committees, and those have since been amended and will be implemented with effect from 1st of November. They were just waiting approval, which has now been granted. New members have been appointed by the accounting officer to make sure that the issue of segregation of duty is addressed. On the issue that is not necessarily was not necessarily raised in the audit report, but rather highlighted also in the annual report, is the issue of regular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure in terms of how we deal with it. This area is being addressed through National Treasury Guidelines issued in May 2013. What we do in cases of fruitless, wasteful expenditure, we refer them. Once an expenditure has been detected as fruitless and wasteful, we refer it to legal to determine what led to the situation. And this, for example, may talk to a situation where somebody is booked into a hotel and they do not pitch up, or somebody has booked a car, or somebody books a conference and they don't use it, and things like those, or somebody loses a laptop and they can explain how they lost the laptop. Legal division will go through, they will invite a statement from an official to explain the circumstances under which the fruitless expenditure would have been incurred. And on the basis of that explanation, they will then source an opinion, obviously looking at all the facts to determine whether there was negligence or it was really a genuine case where, for example, somebody was on the way to Cape Town to attend the meeting, and all of a sudden there was a call by the minister of the DG to come back for something urgent, and therefore they'll make a ruling to say if the expense was incurred beyond the control of the official, that will then be dealt with separately. But if it can be detected that the official was just simply negligent, the recovery will then be effected. So these are matters that are at different stages. They are treated differently because they are different. Some are related to assets, some are related to travel, and so on. And I must also indicate to the honorable members that we do have a register of all the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, including regular expenditure, to explain exactly where these matters are. If the matters are still legal, they will show in progress to show that, and normally we deal with the Office of the State Law Advisor to make sure that there's independent opinion given, so that should the people or the officials involved challenge these matters in court, there could be sufficient legal cover to explain an action taken by the department. Moving to the next slide, there was an issue raised by the AG as well around the accounting officer not always exercising oversight to ensure compliance with laws and regulations. There is currently a process in place where the accounting officer, through the departmental governance structures, exercises oversight. Those structures include the audit committee, which meets regularly. There's departmental executive committee, which I spoke about earlier on, to say that it deals specifically with the projects of the department. There's executive committee, which is chaired by the minister, also dealing with the projects of the department. There's top management made up by all the senior managers in the department. There's a risk management committee that is also dealing with the issues of risk and making sure that all the risky areas in the organization are identified and the risk mitigation strategies are put in place. On the issue of policies, which I already spoke to earlier on, I did mention that we have put up all the DOC policies for review, just to make sure that they are up to date and they are in compliance with the legislative prescripts, laws and regulations, as well as regulations issued by National Treasury and Public Service or Department of Public Service and Administration. We have developed action plans on various areas of deficiencies, and also compliance unit, as I did mention, has been established to assist in making sure that the first level of assurance is given on all the transactions and processes in the department. Honourable members, that is it on the action plans. The integrated action plan that has been presented, it goes into some of the issues that were not necessarily presented on the slides, because some of the issues, for example, you may find that are a bit repetitive. If you were to take, for example, an issue of the chief financial officer's position not being filled, the high vacancy rate in the department, even though those were individual findings, but at the end of the day, they still talk to one thing, which is the high vacancy rate in the department. So we have somehow consolidated them. Also the issues around people acting in positions for longer than 12 months and so on. These are the issues that are taken to HR because of the fact that if you have a situation where positions are not being filled and so on due to the reasons that we've already alluded to, then you are likely to run into a situation where people are acting in positions for long and so on. And others relate to leave, which I've already spoken to. Others relate to competency assessment, management of leave, special leave policy, payment of suppliers in 30 days, overtime, which I've already spoken to. There was an issue of annual conflict of interest declaration, which was not done. It has been addressed in this action plan. There was an issue of intangible assets, the issue of supply chain management, the expenditure management, which I've already spoken to, the predetermined objectives in terms of how we're going to achieve the targets going forward and address the issues raised by the AG, and lastly, the some of the issues around the disclosures. This document would then talk to all the issues raised in the management report issued by the Auditor General, which was used as a basis to formulate our audit report. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
Members, that was the presentation. Honourable Stomach is going up. Honourable Killen. Honourable Man, ANC, that was seven.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Mr. Pire made a statement that says that when they left here, thank you so much for reminding me. I apologize for that. That they were a little bit confused. I thought there's an office of the chairperson that can clarify the issues when you are confused, because it's there also to assist the OC not to be confused on our behalf. Chair. Secondly, I accept the roadmap that has been presented to us in terms of responding to the AG's areas that he raised. The only thing that I would like to know notwithstanding that you have also said that you are in a process of also filling the critical technical vacancies at May. Because that one also is a process of its own. We are already first quarter of the 2013-14 financial year. Which warm bodies are going to implement this? Because also you spoke about migration of the personnel workforce to the new structure, which is also still incomplete, if I've listened carefully. So I want to understand that. What confidence gives you? Because even last year you had the same confidence, I must say that. This time around, what will be different? That's two, Chair. Secondly, Chair, in terms of your IT overhaul that you are saying you're going to do, have you also analyzed so that you preempt the risk that comes with when you do that? In terms of your institutional memory and so forth, which is not in the warm bodies, which also is within your IT system. How are you going to ensure that there are no risks that you have identified are mitigated? Because you should have also, in terms of your IT strategy, dealt with that. Chair, in terms of the payment of service providers, probably my understanding is different from DOC. If, for example, you get a wrong account number, it boils down to say, how did you appoint that service provider? Because in some instances, you need to go and do an oversight to ensure that but the bank accounts, of course, you rely on what they've given you. But I'm just saying politically in terms of public service provider. And I'm sure that in terms of your CFO position and the rest in terms of supply chain and the committee that we have also changed and appointed now, they are going to deal with those issues. I hope so. But I didn't hear you giving a sense of comfort in that area. Okay. Yeah. In terms of your slide 40, my fourth point, Chairperson, in terms of your human capital, I don't know deliberately you shy away in terms of the management, performance management system, because somebody needs to be accountable for any project that you undergo or undertake as DOC, which also has been ongoing concern. That matter is outstanding, but I thought you were going to talk to that. One second, Chair. Sorry, I apologize. The rest, Chair, there's nothing new. But also for me, Chair, in closing, on what I would like to raise is that it's not enough to say we have voluntarily raised the issues. The fact of the matter is, what are you doing with those issues? Because it seems like all the time when you come to us, your back is against the wall. And I don't think, in terms of self-esteem, it does any good for you, even for us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Killer.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to start off by saying we raised some concerns at the beginning. It was about the presentation before us. It was difficult to follow. But I would like to now go to the content of the presentation and just raise some issues. And I want to say, Chairperson, that I want the department and the officials who are present here today to know that we're doing this not to be difficult, but we're trying to make sure that we fulfill our function and responsibility, and that we also help identify weaknesses which the department should realize they have to address. So I just wanted to make that statement that we should not be regarded as just being negative. We're just pinpointing weaknesses, which is sometimes very difficult for management to identify. But we want you to develop a dashboard that you can say, this is what we've achieved this year as far as this critical shortcoming is concerned, and we intend to take, we can't move from 20% to 100%, clearly not. But we will have to push you to up your performance. So that is just at the outset, Chairperson. So I, unfortunately, I have to come back to the issue that I have mentioned before, and that is the fact that I'm concerned that we've heard just too often the same undertaking given. And therefore, we don't want to be negative, but I just want to remind you about your presentation last year. And I want to specifically refer to Operation Clean Audit 2014, in which they said they have developed action plans to achieve the following: identification of problematic areas and critical functions, i.e. supply chain management. There was a limited improvement, yes, but not adequate, because according to the Auditor General, it's still not in place. I mean, if you look at that, then I will come back to the issue. Information technology. According to the Auditor General, that's one of your major weaknesses. So clearly, nothing is done there. Finance and human resources. According to the Auditor General, HR in the department is a major problem. Then you also said you will have effective monitoring of key internal controls. The audit finding shows that did not happen. You will enforce compliance at all levels within the entire communications portfolio. If we look at the findings of the Auditor General, the communications portfolio, if anything, deteriorated from the previous year. And you will ensure that all audit findings do not recur. That is another undertaking that you have. You will assess compliance levels on a quarterly basis. Now, I can go to different pages of the document that you presented last year, but I will not waste our time. Chairperson, I want to just go and say, yes, some of the corrective measures point to more regular meetings. Unfortunately, meetings is not going to solve the problems. And I specifically referred to slide 9, where you said the DDGs will meet weekly to review project implementation progress. If you look at the predetermined objectives, that was 46% of your targets were not met. That is maybe an improvement, that it is an improvement on last year, because last year your performance assessment was 70% not met. So it is clear that also you've reduced it, which was in accordance with what the committee advised you to do, which is good. Sort of focus in on your core key responsibilities. Otherwise, you set yourself up for failure. And I think you've learned to understand that when we say that, we mean just go and make sure that you attend to the most critical issues in your portfolio on a 20-80 principle. 20% will achieve 80% effect out there in the market. And then you know you are on the right side. But Chairperson, if you look at what the Auditor General has found as far as this department is concerned, non-compliance with Treasury regulations in appointment of consultants by not assessing functionality as per invitation sent out. Now, that is a supply chain management problem. Yes, you've improved, and there was not a specific emphasis of the matter in the agent's report. But this is clearly pointing to a major problem. Insufficient information in the proposal of the winning bidder. Bid adjudication and holding service providers accountable for what they deliver. You have to step up your performance there. Otherwise, as the Auditor General has said, it's the root cause of this lack of accountability and consequence management. Inadequate performance management. Your performance management is not there. And that brings me to the HR issue, Chairperson. You see, if we don't step up the HR accountability issue, what the Auditor General has found is the leadership should take accountability to finalize the migration process. Last year, by the way, Chairperson, we were informed that the migration process is very definitely on its way and it will be concluded soon, etc. We're a year later, still not concluded. We know about the problems in the department. But you will have to start focusing on the job at hand and stop focusing on trying to get to positions or to get other people into positions. You will have to focus on the job at hand. The department should enhance their performance management system and hold staff accountable. Now, the AG did find that that was a weakness last year, and it's this year more serious weakness. If you look at the presentation of the Auditor General, it's clear the department is not stepping up their own HR. All other entities will also suffer as a consequence of that. Lastly, Chairperson, I just want to say it is a problem that despite the finding of the AG last year, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure has gone up instead of declined this past year. And that, Chairperson, says the presentation that they made last year to us to say that this is Operation Clean Audit 2014 was not a success. And you will pardon us if we're taking your presentation today with a pinch of salt to say we've heard your undertakings, we've heard your systems that you put in place so often. Please forgive us if we are not 100% convinced that we will not find the same deficiencies a year from now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Newman.
Thanks, Chairperson. Having listened to what the department has been raising in terms of findings of the Auditor General and actions that they plan to take, etc., what I found quite interesting is that in some of the areas they already have these meetings, etc., but still the same problem arises. And in other areas, because the AG has raised it, they're now telling us what they plan to do. Now, I would say that if this was a new department that had only had a few months, well, then it would be understandable because you're setting up a new department. But it's not a new department. And many of these requirements that are requirements and procedures that need to be adhered to are not new. They've been in place for a long time. Why is it then, and that's my question there, is why is it that we can't comply to requirements and procedures? Why is it that we tend to try and react only when the Auditor General puts out? Surely, if we have the correctly experienced staff in place in the department, we shouldn't be experiencing some of these problems. I mean, for instance, I'm just seeing the fact about the issue of leave, and that before the audit takes place, we suddenly, if I heard correctly, then steps are put in place to call people in and to make sure that everything is done correctly and is in place. But surely that's a standard requirement. If I take leave, surely I should be filling in a leave form. Surely it should be deducted from my leave. Surely the records should be updated on a consistent basis. Why only before an audit takes place do we then check whether these things are in place? So it seems to me that there's a bit of a problem in day-to-day compliance at times. Now that tells me that perhaps some of the responsible persons in the department are not doing their job properly. That's really just my observations, and my concern is that some of these things keep cropping up and they don't seem to be raised. So I think that we need to get some indication from the department. How are they going to ensure that these things are adhered to on an ongoing basis? Because we shouldn't be dealing with some of the matters that the AG is raising. We shouldn't. Some of them are mundane matters. Some of them are easily attainable, but the AG must pick them up. So I don't understand. Just one last thing, Chair. On the issue of paying suppliers within 30 days, that's an issue that's been raised nationally. I think the President may have even raised it at some stage. Because it has a major impact, especially on your small suppliers. You pay a small supplier late, you put them in serious, serious in a serious predicament because their financial flow of finances is seriously impacted, and it impacts their ability to stay in business sometimes. And I was listening to what was said, is that sometimes if they're not paid because the supplier charges for VAT when they're not VAT registered. But wouldn't it be better for the department when they are entering into agreements or contracts or whatever it is with suppliers to ensure that the supplier understands how they should be invoicing? I would imagine that would make good accounting sense to, you know, and financial controls, so that your supplier knows what they may invoice and what they may not invoice for, rather than waiting for them to give you an incorrect invoice and then the whole thing gets delayed, etc. So I'm raising that as an example because these are small things which I think would possibly be easily overcome and ensure that we have a far better functioning department and ensure that we have happy suppliers, you know, who are able to do business effectively. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to go into any of the detail that we were given. I think my colleagues have addressed that enough. And I also think that the Honorable Schneeman has hit the nail on the head. And he may have used a small hammer. I just want to use a 10-pound hammer and do exactly the same. Firstly, let me also indicate that the proposed action steps are general, basic, sound business management principles. That should be undertaken in any organization. And again, as has been said by speakers before me, some of it, we were told, are already in place in the department. We just don't see the results if they were enforced. And I think that is partly where the problem is. And the million-dollar question really is, what happens to the people that you've indicated are responsible for particular, monitor particular action steps, if they don't do what they're supposed to do? And I want to suggest to the department that should perhaps be written into their performance contracts, that this is what you're responsible for, whether it's weekly, monthly, every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever. And these are the consequences, so that when somebody doesn't fulfill that responsibility, that there must be consequences. People must be held accountable. And they cannot turn around and say, but I did not know that I was going to be fired if I don't do this X, Y, Z. Because quite clearly, Chairperson, it's not just the department, but generally in the public sector, there are no accountability. And until people are being held accountable, we actually won't see an improvement. Because the steps to get a clean audit, I think everybody knows what they should be doing. They're just not doing it. And my plea really is that there should be accountability. When the department appears before us and they have not fulfilled particular action steps, who do we hold accountable? The minister. The minister in turn holds certain people accountable. And there should be a clear line of the accountability and the steps taken if those responsible actions are not fulfilled. And therefore, Chairperson, I also want to, and again it was raised by the Honourable Chair earlier when we debated whether we should actually even have this presentation. We've now had something I think that the committee agrees with, that if implemented will go a long way towards achieving clean audits and improving service delivery, by the way. But I think this committee needs the minister to come before it and say that he supports us. He is in favor of this. And the following will be done if it is not achieved. And then also, Chairperson, may I just ask that something similar should be implemented at every level of all the SOEs as well. It should be replicated so that we've got a cascading thing now of something good happening. And ultimately, you know, you come before us, clean audits, services are being delivered, money is being saved and spent efficiently where it should be spent. And it's the way to go forward. It's the way for this country to go forward. So, Chairperson, there is my plea to the department that and that at the subsequent session that we will address these issues of accountability, of the minister endorsing this plan, And giving us some indication of what happens if it is not fulfilled at every single level. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tazza.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, I think it's sometime last year, if not early this year, I can't remember correctly. We were told by DOC that Auditor General would be full-time in DOC. I didn't even remember by that time we asked the question that full-time, what does it mean? We were concerned that we're employing AG. Then we were clarified that no, the purpose is to be there most of the time to assist in dealing with the challenges. But Chair, it seems it didn't work. Because if it worked, we should not be talking as we are talking here today, or engaging as we are engaging here today. I just want to check, firstly, Honorable Chair, through you, with you, what happened to that arrangement? Is that arrangement still there? Is it bearing any fruit? Because if it's still there, you must not be in this situation. Because I remember again that around that time, it was going to be a lot of money to be paid to the AG. Because being there, it was not going to be free. It was going to be paid. Now we want to see the taxpayers' money. What did you pay for? How is your meeting and what do you gain out of that? That is number one, Chair. Number two, when we met with DOC 2 weeks ago, and we said, for as long as Chair, there is no need, there will be a problem. Tonight, this portfolio committee, we say, Chair, you are our head. That is why we are here. That is why we are asking these questions. Chair, the absence of the minister, the deputy minister, and the DG is of great concern. The DG is the accounting officer, according to the PMA. It is her responsibility. I really don't understand that in just one meeting, that both the DG, the minister, and the deputy minister, they must attend. That means they don't take us to us. At least one of them should have compromised to be part of this meeting. Because now, from where I'm sitting, I have issues to raise around the issues of leadership, as highlighted by the Auditor General. But I can't. I can't. Because the poor DDGs are being not fair to them. But I'm saying that this matter is that really now I'm still not satisfied. We are not taken serious by them. The heads must be here. There's a reason why we have a deputy minister anyway. That if the minister cannot perform this duty, he must delegate. But they cannot be sitting in one table doing one thing, three of them doing one thing. We cannot be chair. We are not taking serious. The other thing, Chair, it was clear when we were dealing with the DOC that their audit committee is not functional or is not there. But I don't see anything in this template that talks to the audit committee. So, well, that is the crux of your problems, the audit committee. But if it's there, it's okay. Maybe I didn't see. But to me, that is the crux of your problem, the audit committee. What are you intending to do about it, Chair? And on the issues of 30 days, in addition to what Honorable Greg was saying, I really don't understand it. That you'll be able to give Susie a tender. But when it comes for you to pay me, you don't have full details. I mean, it's so surprising. It's so surprising. It cannot be that you give me, how do you give me a tender if you don't know me? Because obviously there must be documents supplied. I must comply. So if I don't comply, then how can I get the document, the tender? So you must improve whatever system you are using to make sure that before you award the tender to Susie, Susie must have submitted all the details, and you must even verify the banking details before you award the tender. So it maybe not even be one of the criteria to disqualify Susie that if you are banking details around, you are not going to get this tender. So that even the service providers, if they are not taking themselves seriously, then they must forfeit a particular tender so that they don't delay. I'm saying this, Chair, because, you know, this 30 days thing, it was one of the key issues raised by the President himself during his budget speech. But if till today, on 2013 October, is still a crisis, then I'm having a problem with it, Chair, because if the President has made a decision on something, it must be implemented. If it's not, then there are serious challenges with DOC. On this document, Chair, I don't have any problem with it. It's okay, I'm fine with it. But I just want to understand the ongoing part of it. And you must understand where I come from. So the only employer I had is the African National Congress. I was never employed by any company or government before. I only worked for the African National Congress. But this thing of ongoing, it can still be ongoing next year. So now where I used to work, when you say ongoing, you must be specific. When is that ongoing? So that we'll be able to do oversight. So that when you come back next time, you'll be able to say, you said on the lack of adherence to the special leave policy, you said this matter must have been, it must be ongoing. But on the issues highlighted by the AG was specific on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we just want, on this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when are you going to do it? Well, there must be a time frame to say, between the 1st of November, maybe even if you say 1st of November till next year, February. At least it's something we'll be able to hold accountable. But it is ongoing, it's open. It will be ongoing till the risk cutting phase come, Honorable Chair. Next is on the issue of the irregular, and in terms of the document that I have displayed, 17, on the irregular, fruitless and excessive expenditure. I don't know, Chair, like I said, I never worked in any department. Maybe that's how, normally when we deal with the bills, you tell us, no, that is how we start the standard, is an international standard. Maybe that is also how is it. Because I've got to say, in terms of the timelines on the slide number 17, there is no timeline. You are saying, as and when legal finalized and issued an opinion. I don't think that is enough. That legal team, they are part of DOC. They are working for DOC. You must give them timelines. That within this time frame, we must have received a response on this matter. But it's too open. They can delay this matter. It will be another cut and paste. Still ongoing. We are still awaiting a response from the legal team because you have not given them time frames. When do you need the report, Chair? Lastly, Chair, I agree on the issue of the dashboard. Though this one really, Chair, it's really it's an improved version. I accept the way the slides that have been presented. I think partly it addresses the issue of the dashboard that we are requesting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chen.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like some guidance from you, perhaps, please, here. I've also gone through the integrated action plan, which is obviously the more detailed of the presentation, and there are a couple of questions I'd like to ask about some things in there. Would that be okay? Okay. I presume it not means yes. Okay. If I may, this is on this document, all right. On page 2, the third point, where it says that on the performance agreements, it said the implementation progress, there were daily reminders to all staff to submit their performance agreements for the whole month of April 2013. So I'm presuming that in April this year, you banged on everybody's doors and said, please provide your performance agreements. I'm wanting to know now, months later, whether you have all the performance agreements, please. And if not, what disciplinary action has the DG taken against the laggards? Then on slide 17, the annual conflict of interest declarations were not completed. All SMS members who did not comply have been requested to do so. Are you able to tell us, please, how many people that's involved and whether they have supplied their conflict of interest forms and whether there's actually been approval for these people to actually continue with whatever other action it is that they're doing that causes the conflict. Then on page 11, inadequate controls of the bid evaluation committee process, you did talk about that. It says here that the conduct for specification and evaluation committee was submitted to the DG for approval and that is still outstanding. I see the deadline date for that is November the 1st. That's 2 weeks away. Is that, I think it's next Friday, isn't it? Or the Friday after that? Anyway. So it's 2 weeks away. What is the progress there, please? Are we going to make it? Yes, you didn't notice in your presentation regarding human resources about the department not having standard operating procedures or processes to evaluate the achievement of specific targets. And it gets to that an action plan here is immediate. Is there some process happening with the evaluation of, I presume this is people-specific targets, what we in the DA would call the PDMS, which means that you set your targets and you get hammered on them if you don't meet them. Are you keeping pace? Are you? Okay. Page 18. Now, we all know that one of the main sort of shocking findings was that excessive overtime was paid. Now, on page 18 here, we have letters of demand and recovery were sent to all the employees who were overpaid. And then you talk about the review of the policy. Now, perhaps in my naivety, I assume that these people had done the work and had been paid overtime. There just wasn't a proper process for it. Now they're having to pay back this overtime. Were they paid in error? Did they not do the overtime? And if so, is there any other action that's been taken? Yes, on the IT performances, page 19, the inadequate design of the operating system security. Now, there's access logon violations are being reviewed and reported on a monthly basis. I wanted to know whether there have been any serious security transgressions because the logon security was not there, and whether there have been perhaps any causes or any necessity for inquiries into why that person perhaps, you know, irregularly used someone else's logon, and whether there have been any security breaches, whether any disciplinary action, possibly criminal action, has been taken. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable.
Yes, Chair, under normal condition, if you are the last one to ask questions, you'd say some of the issues I've covered. But because we don't seem to be heard, even when things are covered, we emphasize them, we say them in different ways, to the hope that maybe many of us and many different aspects to the same thing will impact on the department and things will change. For example, the first one, on the one that the president announced, that all tender people must be paid. We thought this would be heard because we see the band also, because when I'm in my parliamentary office, I've heard reports of people who want, for example, one guy, maybe move again, had a tender to build a school, and he wasn't paid duly. And the people who were working there started betraying against him to an extent of getting so angry because they thought, well, we can't work end of the month, you're telling us. We've got children at home. We have made promises to do this and that, and pay. In some instances, you're going to be penalized because there's no money. Now, you can't tell us that you can't pay, you don't have money. We have worked, and we should be there. I really just think, to be honest, it has been very selfish of officials who get their salary end of their month, who are not given stories and excuses. When bus and come, there were salaries in the accounts not to do the same to others. How will they be learned of the bus if government tells them, well, money is not there, there's this and that, we're still waiting for the economy of the world to improve. We can't pay you. How will you really feel the excuses? I really feel it is very selfish, because these people have responsibilities. And some of them, their business goes down. The report we get from parliamentary offices, that if they are not paid, ultimately he can't finish the tender, which is a bad record, because he's not finishing. That is going to get on record. That is going to go on his status of tendering with government. So I think it is destroying people, that are really trying to make a living and are living from head to mouth out of the status, which is really not fair, because you are comfortably getting your salaries every month. The other one, to be honest, is the one that was raised by Greg, that, to be honest, you run in the department like a spaza shop, like informal center. I mean, you can't really not feel forms when you go and leave, not like if people apply for jobs. The standard thing is you are told when you apply your application.
When you go to jail.
Yes.
Honorable thing? Check on a point of order. I think the Honorable Ketana is insulting spaza shops.
No, the standard thing is you'd be told put an application, attach an authorized certificate to that application. Now you can't even touch on that. And to be honest, I think you're also not fair on us, because you're making members of parliament, if instead of dealing with core business, serious matters, to be dealing with petty matters of administration. I mean, this thing of auditor general pointing out that you didn't have proven accreditation, that's the standard thing when people apply for jobs. They are told to attach a certificate that is authorized. And in this world of fraudulent practices, how do you just accept applications without certificates? And for anybody to be policing you for that, to be honest, is to reduce members of parliament, I mean, to very petty matters. That's what I'm saying. You're running like those thin protests, maybe, spazas, you know, in informal sector, when you're selling tomatoes on the pavement. If four of them is 10 rand and somebody cries and say, I don't have 10 rand, I've got you, give him two. If you come from a box of matches, it's 50 cents, and you only have 30 cents, you can take three sticks and give him for 30 cents. If he comes and he wants a packet of cigarettes, and you say he's 20 rand, and he says, I only have two, and you give him two cigarettes, he goes. So if he wants sugar, he can't have the whole packet. You give him two teaspoons, he's happy, he goes. But you can't run a department like that. This is not a spaza shop. This is not informal sector. This is a very serious formal sector that has actually entities. And you must lead by example. What example are you leading to all the entities that work and look upon you to give leadership? So to be honest, we are very disappointed. The one question I would like to directly answer. You, Auditor General, say you got 54. Now, I want to know, did you get bonuses? Because in performance management system, a lot of them actually say you must get 100% to get bonus. I know some say 80% at least. For you to get bonuses, I want to know with 54 if you get bonuses. Because if you did, to be honest, you are operating illegally and cheating the department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kekan. Member T has arrived quite some time ago. Probably members can just go and get grab their tea so that we save time, because other members were indicating that they'll be leaving early. Diose?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think, Chairperson, we take the questions which have been raised very seriously. There's also been very sound advice that have been given to the department.
The key issue also applies to you. But for you, unfortunately, you have to proceed to respond.
Actually, it's part of the punishment. We can actually take it for the sins which have been said here in this house today. Chairperson, there are issues which are really at the core of business processes in the department, which I mean, Professor Lagazi will respond in detail to those. there are issues around performance, monitoring, and Chairperson, I would also ask Farad to come in here and give an indication of how do we ensure that we are able to implement an online system that is available, how do we do our project management, and all of this. So as to demonstrate the kind of auditing of performance that we do. And I think it's very thorough. Chairperson, I will also make a statement here that Chairperson, over the years, this department has not filled vacancies. And for me, this is a very important problem. There are valid reasons that we are experiencing, for instance, during the time of Honorable Padayachi, we were going through restructuring in the department, and it took long for the structure to go into DPSA, finalize it, and take it to National Treasury and all of that. But the picture is not complete, Chairperson. The system is not complete at all, because the level of vacancy rate is such that even if you want to perform, certain areas of the department are going to lack. And this is the crux of what we are sitting with, Chairperson. I mean, we are also in the same process, losing officials who go and join other entities. There are officials who have left here, having been recommended by yourself to join other entities, so to say. So the problem is actually much bigger. And this is Chairperson, a concern for us. We are actually...
You mean Bo?
We mean Bo, and we also mean Amran Mushaluha, whom we appointed at CASA. Who was at the level of chief director. I'm just trying to give an example, a practical example of what we are dealing with. Who was also at the policy branch where I am heading. So, Chairperson, the need to complete migration so that we can fill vacancies is actually very urgent for me, and this is, in fact, where I'm sitting with the issue. We have emphasized critical positions, of course. We have managed to try and fill some of this in the past few months, which is helpful in some of the critical areas. But Chairperson, I will allow Dr. Lagasse to respond to some of these and Farad as well.
Chair and Honourable Members, I will respond to the specific questions raised by the Honourable Members. I think DDGP has already spoken about the issue of filling of vacancies. Honourable Soma did raise an issue around the IT overhaul. I must indicate that one of the challenges that we had during the year under review, Honourable Members, is that we did not have the head of IT, and we have made all attempts to make sure that the head of IT is appointed. And as we speak, the person is currently occupying the post. He has done an analysis of the IT environment, identified all the areas of weaknesses in the IT environment, and made recommendations as to how those issues should be dealt with. There is an IT strategy that is in place, and all the risks that have been picked up in the IT environment have been analyzed, documented, and some of the mitigating measures have now been put in place. So as we speak, there is a process of upgrading the IT infrastructure in the IT environment. The Honourable Member went on to raise an issue on the payment of service providers in 30 days, and I think this also came from a few Honourable Members. I must indicate that from the findings of the AG, I think it's important to indicate that with the your big to medium suppliers, this problem is not necessarily the case. Because normally you verify them, you do all sorts of things. There will only be a delay if there's a dispute on the deliverables, where, for example, maybe a supplier is billing the department, but the department is not satisfied with the work done. I think this problem is mainly confined to suppliers that are mainly used for things like events, because this will not necessarily be suppliers that are housed in the departmental database. Let me just give a practical example. If the minister goes to, for example, Northwest to run an Imbizo, we'll try and use the suppliers who are in that locality, who are not necessarily the normal suppliers who are doing business with the department. And then obviously verify them, check the details and so on. But then sometimes when they do the billing, you may find that the amounts quoted and the amounts invoiced are not talking to one another. Then what you do, you call them and you say, can you please correct? You quoted us 15,000, you have now invoiced us 15,200. Can you please do the correction? Then some of them, they do disappear for days and they are tracked and so on. So the problem is mainly confined to such instances. But the normal suppliers who are registered on the database, who have filled in all the forms, this problem does not arise. So I thought, let me just contextualize that. And in most cases, you find that on a monthly basis, the cases would be 2, 3, 4, maximum 5 cases, and also depending on the activities for that particular month. On the issue that was raised by Honorable Killian around the areas of deficiencies, and as well as a dashboard to be developed, I think we do take that, we do welcome that. The audit committee has already engaged with the department to begin to monitor performance on the basis of a dashboard on a monthly basis. I do agree also with Honorable Killian that yes, indeed, we came to this house to make a commitment around Operation Clean Audit to deal with a few areas that were mainly problematic. Being the SCM, which is experiencing an improvement at the moment, being the IT, which did not have a head, and we have since appointed head of IT. On the HR, I must also indicate that there has been a problem there, that's why there has been a movement of an official in the IT, in the HR environment. The position has been advertised. There is a process of filling the position to secure the head of HR so that we are able to deal with all the HR issues that have been picked up by the AG. The other issue that the Honourable Member has raised is around compliance at all levels in the DOC portfolio. We also do agree with that because the clean audit process, the Minister started a series of engagements with the SOEs to make sure that they develop action plans, and those action plans were monitored at a collective. And I must indicate that that process is continuing as we are speaking by end of this month. The Minister will once again be sitting with all the chairpersons and all the CEOs of the entities to assess progress. Firstly, the Minister will be looking at the action plans that they've developed and to assess progress in addressing the issues raised by the Auditor General. The other issue that the Honourable Killian raised relates to corrective measures that seem to be pointing to meetings. I must indicate that whilst we do engage in meetings to try and assess progress, there are also steps that are taken outside of the meetings, and we actually try to minimize meetings as much as possible so that we can release officials to be able to focus on the key deliverables in the department. The issue of non-compliance in SCM, we have noted the challenges that were there, and one of the ways in which some of these issues will be addressed will be through the filling in of vacancies, because I think as DDGP has said, we have had a very abnormal situation where positions have not been filled for almost now 5 years in the department for various reasons. Now you find a situation where one person is actually performing a job of two or three people, and it becomes a problem, especially when there's too much workload, because then there's likely to be mistakes and oversight. And we've then taken a view that says all the funded positions must be filled in, and by March 31st, all those must be filled in, because we are equally concerned that it cannot be normal to have an environment where there's so much high vacancy rate and there's still expectation that what can be done. On the issue of leadership and accountability for non-performance, that is a valid point. There are attempts at the moment to ensure that at all levels managers are held accountable, and they are also able to hold those who report to them accountable by the accounting officer. It's something that requires boldness. It's something that requires just implementation. It is a valid point, and we do accept that. On the issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure going up, I must indicate that we try as much as possible to try and minimize the issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The only challenge with this area is that with fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because of the nature of the environment we are in, you're likely to detect the expenditure post the event. Like I did mention earlier on, that somebody gets booked a flight and they don't show up and there's no reason for show, for no show. It's something that the only remedial action you can take at that time, because the payment has been done and the expenditure has been incurred, is to then recover the money from the official. And that's when then the processes have to go to legal to say, was this person negligent? And if yes, the process of recovery then kicks in. But because of the complexities around different matters, it becomes difficult to attach a timeline. For example, if somebody has committed a fruitless and wasteful expenditure on booking a conference and there's no one who's showing up for that conference, you may find that the matter gets referred by legal to the state law advisors. They also run through their processes, they do an investigation, and then they finalize the report, come back to the department. So sometimes, even if you say to them, I give 7 days, they may say that we need actually more than 7 days. So it becomes tricky to attach the timelines. But where the matter is straightforward, where somebody, for example, the money is recovered immediately, because we don't have to get an opinion on that. Honorable Shineman raises a very important issue to say, why is it that there's a problem of compliance in the department? Now, as we did mention earlier on, that compliance has been seen to be an issue that is limited to certain sections in the department. If I can make an example, first of all, there would be a culture which says only those who occupy managerial positions must comply. And for example, if you look at the issues that are normally checked by IT, it will be finance, it will be supply chain, it will be IT, and so on. So compliance seem to be confined only to those areas, whereas compliance is something that has to be done by everyone. Now, in response to this issue, which we have discussed at length with the audit committee, we have then resolved that from secretaries to the DG, everyone must be held accountable on compliance. And if they cannot comply, we must then be able to institute measures, disciplinary measures, on instances of non-compliance. Because this issue of non-compliance, it's generated from almost every quarter of the organization. I did mention earlier on the issue of a person, for example, who just ignores filling in a leave form, yet they know very well that they need to fill in a leave form. So I think those matters, they then go to the issue that was raised by Honorable Killian to say there must be consequences in those instances. Honorable Killian has further raised the issue of payment of suppliers, which I think we have made an attempt to respond to say what exactly is the situation around that. And also in terms of, just to add on that, on the issue of 30 days payment, we also do have supplier days that we conduct with the main suppliers on the departmental database, just to take them through how the department works, what it is that they need to comply with, what forms they need to fill in. So those ones, they don't normally really create issues for us. Honorable Zain also further raised the issue of compliance, which we agree with, that it needs to be enforced at all levels by all managers and hold everyone accountable. That is a valid point. We do take it. The issue of inclusion of deliverables in the performance contracts, we have already begun a process of making sure that key issues are included in the performance contracts of officials, so that when we demand accountability at the end of the day, it can be demanded on the basis of a performance contract, and it can also be raised legitimately, so because it will be reflected in the performance contract. Honorable David did raise an issue on the AG being full-time in the DOC. I must indicate that this issue came in the background of the discussions that we had here in the committee, where I think it was the Honorable Chairperson who was asking a question around why is it that the AG is keeping at the DOC? And I think the response that we gave at that time was that there was a challenge on internal audit, because the AG could not rely on internal audit reports, and therefore they needed more time. to be in the DOC. We have taken steps in that regard to remove the head of internal audit. The position has been advertised and the minister is busy filling it because there was a challenge with regard to the capacity of the incumbent at that time. On the other issue that was raised by Honourable Seva around the accountability be provided by the accounting officer, I don't think we would be in a position to comment on that one. It would have been ideal the DG could also be able to speak for herself on that issue. The issue of tenders awarded and verifications not done on suppliers, I think it also talks to the issue of 30 days payment. I did try to respond to that one. I think it was also the issue that was raised by Honourable Kikano. The ongoing status issue that was raised by Honourable Seve, we debated a bit at length around this, and we do take the point around the ongoing status. The only consideration that we took, or the only factor that we took into consideration, Honourable Seve, on some of the actions, when we put the ongoing status, it mainly relates to the things that have to be done on a daily basis. For example, things like management of leave, because people go to leave on a daily basis, and therefore what we are saying is that every day as they go on leave, we must make sure that there is compliance, all the forms are filled and filed and so on. So that's why we then put ongoing status, because it would have been a bit difficult to attach a timeline. But I think also there is validity on the issue that Honourable Seve has raised, to say since the AG has raised some of those issues, have we cleaned them up? And I must indicate to the House that what we did, we have gone back all the files on all the instances of non-compliance, and where there has been issues, we have made sure that those were addressed. And therefore, going forward, then this is how we are dealing with matters. The issue of irregular expenditure focus and wasteful expenditure not having timelines. Ideally, we would also love to have turnaround times to say if an irregular expenditure or fruitless expenditure has been detected in 14 days or so, it must be resolved. But because the state law advisors get involved, which is a standard practice in government, it becomes a little bit outside of the control of the department to say, to give them timelines, because they then indicate capacity constraints on their side. And again, the reason why we engage the Office of the State Law Advisors is to make sure that there is independence in the opinion that is given, so that in case we are being challenged in court by officials, then we do have a leg to stand on. The point raised by Honourable Seva, the dashboard that it must be introduced, we do welcome this point, and we will just communicate also with the Audit Committee as we are currently busy with this process. And I'm sure when we come back to the committee, we'll be able to present the dashboard. Honourable Sheen has raised the issue of performance, management of performance agreements, to say what progress have we made. What we have done on all the issues that the AG raised, where we went back, we perused all files, we checked all the processes, we checked all the transactions to make sure that there's completeness. And that relates to performance management, that relates to the declaration of interest. All the managers who did not declare have complied, and they have been signed by the executive authority. On the issues that were picked up on the supply chain, on the bid evaluation committee, the action plan, we have revised the quotes that will be effected from the 1st of November. And essentially, we are comfortable that we have gone back to address all those issues. But I think what is important is not the fact that we went back, it's to make sure that there's no recurrence going forward. That's why the compliance unit, on a daily basis, they are working with managers to make sure that all the transactions that are taken in the department are compliant, and if not, then corrective measures are taken even before audits can be undertaken. On the issue of leave that was raised by Honourable Sheen, to say that we've adopted various measures on the measures that we've adopted in as far as leave is concerned, one including the recovery. We do acknowledge that people did work for the hours that were in excess of what is stipulated by law. In most instances, this was caused by the lack of proper management of leave, in the sense that approval was given without necessarily checking whether it's within line, and therefore where people knew
about leave. I asked about overtime.
My apologies, overtime, Honorable Chin. Yes, so where people have exceeded, because the leave policy is very clear, and where people have exceeded and approvals were given, whilst it becomes a little bit tricky to punish those who received, there has been a view that we took to say, even though the approval was given, some of these officials may have known that they exceeded that which they were entitled to, and therefore the recovery has to be effected. And obviously this is a matter that is handled legally, because some of them are challenging the recoveries, but the matters are in progress as we speak. On the issue of the IT security breaches, there were challenges. I think they were mainly confined to the server. I think our environment in IT was not secure enough, and therefore there were some instances that were picked up for instances of unauthorized entry and so on. That's why then the access logons had to be reviewed. The issue of that date, I think, once again came from Honorable Kitana, which we have addressed. The issue of the management of leave, we have also put systems in place that if an official goes on leave, as an example, it's just as one of the measures that we've put. If an official goes on leave without any proper documentation being filled, and they come 5 days later, they fill in the form, we treat that as an unpaid leave and we close the matter. So we have taken stringent measures around that. The issue of the verification of applicant details that was raised by Honorable Gigan, we do take that very seriously. That was an oversight. I think mainly because we have operated in this environment with lots of vacancies, and you find that one official is responsible for doing multiple tasks, and it's one of the motivations that we put forward to say all the funded and vacant positions must be filled in so that all people can be able to carry the sufficient workload and pay attention to the details. On the issue of bonuses paid, the bonuses that were paid for 2012-2013 were mainly confined to the lower levels, with the view that at the higher levels there wouldn't have been a proper motivation for the payment of bonuses against the non-achievement of 46% of the targets. So essentially a fair decision had to be taken that only the lower levels, and the decision on the lower levels was mainly based on the fact that if somebody is in administration, for example, and their job is to process documents or to capture this and that, senior managers are not pulling their weight in achieving the targets, should we punish those? Because they would have done that which they are required to do, and they would have done it in some instances, even exceeded expectations. And therefore, based on that consideration, a decision was taken that bonuses will only be confined mainly to the lower levels. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Members, that will conclude the responses. I see Honorable Lesom.
Chair, I raise a question. It says that what guarantee that things are going to improve with all the responses that you have received? Because what is being said here, in just picking one response, is that the DG, she has to speak for herself in some areas. What Honorable Debe raised, we initially, almost all of us, were raising as a serious a concern, the absence of the accounting officer. But having said that, Chair, and I'm sure we will be able to deal with that one, because which means this department doesn't have a head, and we must accept that. But also, I hear that in terms of the performance management system is in place, because the issue of the dashboard was raised last year. And the same response that we take the advice. And how long are we going to take the advice without implementing it? So we must stop advising you. We must just scream, and then go home. I don't know who will be assisted by that and will be doing our oversight role. I don't think so. Chair, the other one, if the accounting officer was here, because we have agreed to continue without the accounting officer. I'm sure the accounting officer will have been giving us the reasons, these various reasons, why the post unfilled. I'm using that word because it has been used, various reasons. Because if the accounting officer is holding back the filling of vacancies, let's deal with that one and see how do we deal with it. Chair, I accept that in terms of the lower level of the workforce must not be punished by the non-performance of the top. But I thought when you were going to respond in terms of your performance management system, you are going to tell us, do you really do the organizational performance? You assess it. What informs that if the top management hasn't signed the performance management agreements? And also your divisional or unit or sections performance, which then goes to the individual performance, because all those things are interlinked. Because it's not only the issue of paying bonuses that's the issue that people must get do what they get, they do what they are supposed to be paid to do, not to get paid on things that they didn't do, and it's not fair, as Honorable Gana has said. For me, Chair, I'm still repeating that what we are saying this year, there is nothing different, I promise you. Because you need to talk to the issue of, with all this new vision that you are coming, which is saying that like last year, is to say, also support the reasons why you continuously use the consultants. Not technical consultants, but also consultants in terms of the operation, which will say that it's because we didn't have the warm body or relevant skills in terms of this position at hand so that we can achieve this. Even the issue of the AG, you know very well that we know that the AG doesn't implement. He or she advises. But does he or she get listened to? Because even the audit committee or the audit head, as it may chair, you will never get a person who is a really good auditor who will tell you what you want to hear. You will always have the wrong person because you don't want to listen, be told the truth, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Firstly, let me thank the DGs for responding to the issues without the aid. At least they have tried their level best to their knowledge. Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank them. Firstly, Chair, just a comment on the slide that I was referring to the gentleman on the issue of the ongoing. Maybe again is just a comment. You don't even have to respond to it. Maybe the other thing is a matter of consistency. Because on this one, on those issues that you are saying is daily basis, we are able to say daily. Why on this one did you decide to say ongoing, if it means the same thing? Maybe it's a matter of consistency. As if in the other one, because you are able to say daily, let us seek to the issue of daily. Just a comment on that one. So those two are just comments. My main question, follow-up check, is around the issue of the Auditor General, who is or who was in the GOC, like the gentleman has said. I still not received, I know I might not be satisfied 100%, but my main issue there is there any fruits that you get as the GOC through the assistance of whoever from AG who has deployed in your office to assist. I just want to hear output of that engagement because it was there on daily basis according to a response by then. Is there anything you can report? Because I'm saying there is no change, even if he was there full time. And the fact is that you have paid, you are not for free. That is my main issue. Thank you.
Shanks? Okay. DTG?
Honorable. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Chairperson, I just wanted to say we have heard everything, and I agree with the honourable members that actually the weakness that we have, that we're actually facing, is we don't have the executive, either one of them here, neither the minister nor the deputy, and we also don't have the head of the department here. But thanks for your responses. Just the point of the matter is just that if we don't correct the leadership issue in the year ahead, we're going to be faced with exactly the same pattern. If we look at the vacancy rate that we had last year, it was 29.5%. This year it is increased to 37.39%. So clearly these are the trends. And unfortunately, anybody who is conducting an organizational review analysis will tell you that once an institution has turned into a negative sort of mode of operation, the culture is not corrected, people are not penalized. If people don't fill in leave forms, just deduct money from that. And you will just see people will always overspeed until they are caught in traffic with traffic fines. And clearly, all of us are the same. You take chances, but you know, traffic fines are always a very sharp reminder of what the traffic rules are saying. So the same is applied to people who are just disappearing without having completed the necessary leave forms, etc. Start making them feel the punch. But I just wanted to say the overtime is probably related to the fact that you have a high vacancy rate. But the problem is it is not building the capacity in the department. And therefore, that in itself points to a serious problem. And that supports our concerns that will you be able to turn this department around from operating on the basis of a spaza shop to a real effective government department? Thank you.
Thank you, Tiji.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you would appreciate the precarious position we find ourselves here because the issues that are pointed out here are in fact actually valid concerns. And I mean, for instance, we do take confidence in the plan that the Minister has put on the table because the plan that we're implementing now has reduced kind of projects who narrowly focus and place project managers in the specific projects that the current minister wants to achieve. So there is also, Honourable Chairperson, an emphasis from the minister that we need to stick to do the right things. For instance, he always emphasized that we have to be in the office early on time, we have to be attending our meetings on time. So this a level of leadership emphasis that speaks to leadership accountability, if I could say so. And he also, attend and try and speak to us at the Departmental Executive Committee meeting. So words may not be enough, Chairperson, to give confidence to the issue that Honorable Lissoma is raising about what exactly is going to change, because it looks like the song is that which was played last year. But I'm trying to emphasize the fact that this leadership culture, this emphasis by the new minister, although we have the vacancy rate issue, which is a problem, the department does have, for instance, pockets of excellence, I must also say. There are things wherein we are able, or divisions which are actually excelling in part of the work, but you yourselves are conducting oversight on the whole of the department, and it seems to me that this will also have to be addressed over time with some of the interventions that are going to be undertaken. And I think there is also regular meetings that the minister holds with staff, general staff. He was holding these meetings every 2 weeks. He has an open door policy on Tuesdays where he's able to. So these kinds of interventions actually are part and parcel of those things that actually build morale. There is a way in which, for instance, if I'm an individual, I have a problem, I don't know if the system can help me solve my problem, I can go to the minister and articulate, and I could be helped in that way. So I also want to ask Farah to speak to the issue of performance monitoring, because performance monitoring actually is there in the DOC. This is why we're able to to be certain ourselves that certain targets are not met. It's because the performance monitoring works very well. It's evidence-based. It's now being put electronically. And Chairperson, thereafter, we will respond to some of the questions which have been put. Right.
Okay, thanks. Just to touch on the issue of performance management, I think the honourable members would be aware that we have confirmed that the department has implemented an electronic organisation performance management system, which allows for online capturing as well as dashboards and uploading of evidence. And I think what's worth mentioning is that also we intend, or we started the process of implementing financial management functionality of the system. I think that was an AG finding, key finding in terms of aligning financial planning and performance planning. So I think here, by the end of this financial year, for the 14-15 financial report, we will upload our financial information, that means our actual budgets against projects and reports and expenditure in a quarterly fashion as well. And although this is being currently done, it will be automated, and I think it will bring much more accountability into the way we manage our funding against our performance. And I think it's also worth mentioning that this electronic performance management system has the blessings of the Auditor General and the Audit Committee. It's so much so that it's the Auditor General has their own, the AG has their own password and username, which gives them viewing access to the system where they go in, they audit performance information, they look at the evidence that has been uploaded, which is now also the evidence being quality assured by. The first level of assurance is given by the internal audit before it even goes to the AG. And on the issue of performance management, or should I say implementation of the APP, I think it may sound operational in terms of managing or in terms of introducing project management in the department, but I think we believe it can really make quite a huge impact in terms of proper budgeting, proper planning, accountability at multiple levels as an early warning system and so forth. In terms of this, I mean, if the APP asks us to plan it and report at a quarterly level, but through these project plans, we'll be able to unpack a quarterly target into action steps and deliverables within the quarter. Currently, we've done project plans for the 13 priority projects, but going forward, we intend rolling out to all the entire project ties and the entire APP. And in this regard, we've already secured the services of National Treasury, the Technical Advisory Unit, whoever we've engaged, they've committed to assist us in this regard. Just a matter of sorting out some logistics. So before end of November, that should be sorted out. And in terms of cascading or linking the annual performance plan to individual performance agreement, the HR in this regard, what they do is they audit all performance agreements to look at alignment in terms of content of the APP. And when the SMS Performance Assessment Board sits to determine performance bonuses for senior managers, the quarterly performance report as well as the annual report is used extensively to align level of performance for individuals versus the organizational performance. And I think this, to a certain extent, can be reflected in the number of performance bonuses paid out to senior managers when looking at the 54% that was achieved last year. So in terms of alignment, we are making progress there in terms of managing performance. And of course, these dashboards and reports are made available to the Auditor General, to the Audit Committee, to National Treasury, as well as the DPMEs on a quarterly basis. Thanks.
Chair and Honourable Members, on the issue of the AG that was raised by Honourable Chairman, I think the reason, or maybe the main point here to highlight is that the AG was not necessarily within the department full time, but the AG spent a lot more time in the department due to the fact that there was no reliance on any other reports or from within. So therefore, they had to spend a bit of time. Obviously, that led to the escalation of fees. But ordinarily, when things are functioning, the AG would only come, let's say, for example, around September, October to do an interim audit, and then they'll come later to after the financial year to do the final. So in this case, we have had a situation where the AG spent a lot more time, and we do understand that because the internal audit, there were challenges, and there have been some sort of a solution has been found to say the position needs to be advertised. The head of internal audit needs to be reassigned to another function so that then we are able to get the head of internal audit who will assist the organization. Because once you have internal audit function properly, the work of the aid becomes very simple, because when they walk into the organization, all they do, first thing they ask for internal audit reports. And if they are able to assess those reports and they are happy with the quality and content of those reports, it minimizes the time they require to sit in the organization to perform audits.
And I think there is an expression that was made by Honorable Kekana of a possible environment of a scholarship, Chairperson. I think you know, Chairperson, we are trying our level best. We are giving you our commitment, and we appreciate the oversight that you provide us here. And the department, Chairperson, I wanted to give this sense that there is a sense of optimism across the organization currently. And this optimism arises out of the kind of you know, interventions and appreciation that officials feel in terms of the leadership that is in place. Certainly, Chairperson, and we know this, the work of this department is quite vast and wide, because this department also has an oversight function into the, its entities. And so when you look at the capacity issue, because this is very important, when you look at the capacity issue, even if the you know, the about 6% of the officials that are there, at the end of the day, you'll find that you probably not avoid issues of overtime. When the time of having outreach programs in communities, we have a very small communications unit and IGR who must be an advanced team before the event happens. They've organized it and made sure that everything happens. In that case, people work over weekends, right? So, and when there's a recurrence and the shortage of staff, because you find that this event is actually very regular, and you realize that where we have to launch a low-power transmitter, a computer center, all these kinds of things, then staff, the very limited staff that you have, can be motivated by something. So some of these circumstances are very difficult where you have a shortage of staff. But I wanted to say to Honorable Killian's comment, you know, that in terms of leadership in the department, I've also observed myself that the department is pulling its weight in terms of accountability. I mean, we account to the cluster system, we account to yourselves and all of this. There is a sense of reporting, a culture of reporting that is there in the department. And the system that Farad is articulating here is all fed by officials in the branches. There is that kind of a kind of commitment. I think people do work until very late, generally, in the DOC. We work till very late. We respond to the DG's call. The DG has also reinvigorated some of the governance structures, which I think will improve over time. But it also doesn't help when we can fill vacancies. We also have senior management leaving the department. So we lose that kind of experience as well. And Chairperson, this is the kind of experience that I wanted to share with you on where we are in terms of a department as an organization. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Lisoma for that, or Lisoma followed by Honorable Shin.
Okay.
I think those will be the last hands. Chair, in our hands. Proceed.
No, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say this before you close. That you know what normally happens, shall we say? And I think, Chair, I must say that from my side, I also want to say we appreciate in particular the part of the community in terms of senior management, the two gentlemen, and the performance project owner, in terms of they've been here, even they know that they haven't performed, and take all the heat. We really appreciate that, and you haven't left the department, which I think we should appreciate. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to raise the issue. That's why we have also lamented on the issue of the accounting officer being present in this forum. Because most of these things have been raised to you, but also you still have to report to the body, who should also take a sense of seriousness on what you are raising. So I just need to say that they should also know that we appreciate your commitment to DOC.
But also what Mr. Piri have raised, which of interest, and I'm sure that you acknowledge that you also have playing an oversight role in terms of the other entities, that when they come and make presentations, the responsible officials, they do accompany them. Because there are issues that we raise. We raised that issue even last year. I think I must use the word now. We administratively handle requests that they also accompany them so that they can pick up the issues. Not so that we don't get the repeat of the Sarah of ICAS.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick sort of follow-up to what Mr. Puri was saying. Is the problem of finding suitable people to fill the vacancies, is it really just a matter of money, or is it the fact that the department historically does not have a good reputation for being on top of the ICT game, and therefore there's no, that they don't see any sort of career advancement or any advantage to being employed by the department, because it's not seen as a leader in the industry, and obviously these ITC geeks want to be at the top of their game. So is the environment as it is now not seen as a particularly attractive career option?
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, and I would put a disclaimer on this one. I'm expressing my own view and observation, so that I do not further account my answer. Yes. No, Honourable Chairperson, I think it goes that when a professional environment is publicly known to be toxic for professionals who aspire for a good career progression in their lives, that comes a deterrent. That's a fact. But we have also observed that there are officials in the department, like I said, there are pockets of excellence in the department, and there are officials who get pushed to go and work for those industries. Because I think there is an appreciation that the department has been able over the years to put globally issues which are known to have been dealt with in other markets and very well. And in most instances, these kinds of input are not appreciated generally, but the industry knows who are the individuals who have been driving those kinds of policies, those kinds of interventions, and things like that. We have lost, for instance, individuals who understood the whole issue of economics of interconnection regime, economics of coal termination, those kinds of things. Because the industry knows that these individuals are in the DOC, they put the right case, they advise the minister in the right way, and such these kinds of people get opportunities to go elsewhere. So I still maintain that the DOC, and you would have seen also international, the DOC is doing very well by putting the right issues in the ITU body of multilateral nations. The difficulty is attracting new individuals. In the interviews which we had in the past 6 or 7 months or so, in the professional areas, we find that the companies are not willing to release their best as well. So first, I'm looking for startup engineers who will help in the policy making of those kinds of things. They don't apply. They just simply don't apply. And you are like to get people who come from school, but you're looking for management. So those kinds of things. Broadband, for instance, is one area where we have faced very critical shortage of attraction. The positions are good, chief director levels, but they are paid much higher in industry because those positions do more than just maybe the policy kind of focus that the department do. So the competition around remuneration is also something that the department is actually experiencing. And if you observe also, we are also sharing slips between ourselves and the CASA as well. Over time, we find that the officials who are in the department are at the CASA. And that's the kind of environment we are in. So it's a mixed bag, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DDG. Anything left from your side?
No, Chairperson, we thank you very much for the advice that you always give us. I must just say that you cannot just not do with the advice, otherwise the interaction is not helpful, and we grow in the process, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks very much, DDG and your team. Members, probably that will conclude our engagement. Because the reality, why probably I'm not asking questions, is that from your question which you have asked. It's about doing the fundamental things. Probably then we can talk about what to do. But for now, it's about us, the department, doing the fundamental thing. You apply for leave, there is a form which is filled, which is not happening. So it's just basic things as well. So to start to deal with a much broader things without having the fundamentals, probably it will be a futile exercise. I hope that as the department has presented, they will go back into that. Because one other issue I was looking in your document about the filling of vacancies, and you see the issue that if you still put one March, around March 2014, now the question is that by that time it will work be towards the end of the financial year. Then you're going to have a bad audit report again. Because you see the reality is that by that time it will be towards the end of the financial year if we are not dealing with the issue of capacity. Probably the same audit will come out because they are saying there's nothing you can do. You can overstretch yourself to a certain extent, but more than that, you are human beings. You won't be able to deal with the issues and so on. So probably to frustrate that process in terms of filling the vacancies. Otherwise, I don't see yourself coming out of your situation without the vacancies being filled. And then you start to take proper action because although we are not saying it, the reality is that if a person does not do what he's supposed to do, the difficulty about disciplining that person is that you might find that that person has not done what he's supposed to do, but that does not belong to him or her because it's not what he or she has been appointed for. Has been appointed for something else. It's just doing that helping. Now to pin down that person on disciplinary cases and so on, and that person proved that actually I've been appointed here as a financial office, but you want me to administer leaves and other things, it's too difficult to deal with the situation. So probably as you feel your vacancies, that it will be much better for you or put in better position to do the thing. That I'm saying probably members is about questions are difficult when you say any guarantee and other things. It's the issue of seeing it happen. At the beginning when I was reading the apology from the minister, he has indicated that he is asking for time. We must give him time as a committee to come and address us, to keep us abreast in terms of development within the department. Probably some of the issues members are raising, it will be very important to be frank and candid and raise them with the minister. Because if they don't get it right, the basic fundamental things of having warm bodies in positions, how are they going to perform? Because that becomes a problem. And probably that's why you don't get people applying. Because I don't think the question is that are you a preferred employer of choice? CEOs, yes, things stand now. We find that it's difficult to say yes. You can be asked are you a preferred employer of choice? Given everything else which is happening, you will find that the only people who understand it are those inside that it's not that bad. You are not going to say, no, it's fine, it's not that bad as it seems. But for a person outside to say, hey, I must go in there, I probably have got difficult in terms of just joining and so on. But I think members probably have to put it there and stop it there with the hope that some of the issues, members, that they will be able to tease around the minister when we get the minister that opportunity to come and brief us. But thanks very much. There's nothing we can say, DDG, except that when you look for 2011, 2012, and now 2013, which we are dealing with. If you look at the last one, 2011, 2012, you will see that the recommendation of the committee in this process has been similar. And all what we can do best is to go and cut and paste. This is going to be our test. When it comes to recommendation, we're going to cut and paste all those recommendations and put as they are again because they still fit and things have not moved that much that we can change drastically the recommendations. So it should be quite an easy report to write to this time.
was it is our hand to cut in in terms of the communication and other things. So probably you will get it right when you do the basic things which need to happen in anything. When I just pass up, Honorable Kekan, when I look up at the parlor, I posted something on Facebook talking about that. I got a response that says, Spaza Shop has also moved in terms of approach of things. There's also order there. And that's why they will know how many sticks they must give you on a 20 packet of cigarettes. Because they've got logic in terms of working. They will know that what must happen. So probably Honorable Stein was right. I think it was compared with Spaza. So, thanks very much, DDG, and your members, and thanks very much, members. I'll just ask the ANC members to remain as we leave, but thanks very much. And next week, Tuesday, we'll deal with the issue of ICASA, who are looking to the possibility of adopting both DOC and GIS report, probably Wednesday also. Thank you.